Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. I'm happy now to welcome back to the program Nathan Newcomer. He is Associate Director of the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance at nmwild.org. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having me again. Good to be back.
So we have talked over the years, and it's many years since we've been talking about the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance here on the Radio Cafe. We've talked many times about Otero Mesa, and Otero Mesa is an extraordinary, beautifully preserved wildlife area that has been saved on a number of occasions from oil and gas drilling.
Correct. Yeah, we spent about 10 years fighting the Bush administration and their plans to open up Otero Mesa to full-scale oil and gas development. Now, this is a 1.2 million acre Chihuahuan desert grassland. As you mentioned, it's a very pristine landscape, full of a lot of history, a lot of culture. There's about, 30,000 petroglyph sites alone that you can find in the region, in addition to villages and other historical properties. And we were successful in defeating oil and gas development in 2009. But now we have a very serious, volatile threat on our hands in the form of hard rock mining and, quite frankly, mountaintop removal prospects that could move forward in the coming months.
Mountaintop removal, it sounds like West Virginia.
It's exactly like Appalachia. It's the exact same thing. When you talk about hard rock mining, you can't do it in a small way. You can't get the minerals out of the mountains that you're trying to extract without actually blowing up those mountains.
What kind of minerals do we know or are suspected to be in Otero Mesa?
Well, the main minerals that the company, which is called Geovic Mining Corporation, they are looking for rare earth minerals. And I can tell you from the research I've done, just since I found out about all this in January in Otero Mesa, that rare earth minerals are going to be a new thing hitting the West. It's going to be the next war on the West, quite frankly. Besides water and oil and gas, mining for rare earth minerals is going to be a big deal. And unfortunately, for New Mexico, we've got quite a bit of them. So we're going to be seeing this happen not just in Otero Mesa, but other parts of the state as well.
What are rare earth minerals specifically, and what are they used for?
Well, rare earth minerals are used for things like cell phones, your latest iPad, your laptop.
The same things that they're fighting over in the Congo, in the Democratic Republic of Congo?
In Africa and in China, quite frankly, too. China has the majority of rare earths. And rare earth, the term itself is a misnomer. There's actually quite a bit of those minerals throughout the world. It's just that the United States, as with oil, doesn't have the majority of them. But these minerals were also used for alloys. They're used for nuclear reactors. They're used for optics, for military uses,
yeah.
Laser optics, things of that nature. So that's what they are primarily used for these days. And in fact, for hybrid batteries. So you're seeing this new development moving forward between protecting rare landscapes like Otero Mesa or mining for these rare earth minerals to help us achieve so-called energy independence.
When you look at the example of the Congo, I just heard on the news yesterday here on KSFR that 50 women an hour are being raped in the Congo. Rape is a tool of war, and the war is over minerals.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. And the company itself, Geovic again, they're based in Denver, Colorado, but they are the largest majority owner of a cobalt mine in Cameroon, Africa. And I've seen pictures of this mine, and the only way you can describe it is a vast open pit. It's like what you drive by if you're going to Silver City. You see that, the Chino mine out there, and it's just a huge hole in the ground, and they had to remove a complete mountain to get to all those resources.
So what is Otero Mesa right now? It's public land.
Correct. After we stopped oil and gas development, there was still no form of protection that was put in place. The court decision that we won from the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals told the Bureau of Land Management, which is a managing agency of those public lands, that if they wanted to move forward with any kind of development in terms of oil and gas, they would have to go back and redo their environmental impact statement and have an alternative that protected Otero Mesa, because initially their plan didn't have any alternative to protect it. It was all drill, drill, drill. So right now it's just sitting out there again as public land that's being used for grazing. You can hunt, you can hike, backpack, all that stuff. So unfortunately, without that protection, things like hard rock mining are just going to keep happening. We're going to keep seeing this type of stuff occur.
Now, it does not have wilderness designation. Wilderness designation would prevent any kind of industrial activities like that that harmed the land.
No, it does not have wilderness designation. And even if we were able to get wilderness created right now, the fact of the matter is this company, GeoVic, has already staked close to 200 claims in Otero Mesa. And if you designate a wilderness area with existing claims already staked, those claims are still valid. So the wilderness would not take care of that in effect.
What is the process by which companies can stake claims on public lands?
It's a sad story, quite frankly, because the mining laws in this country are governed by the General Mining Law of 1872. It's passed after the Civil War, President Ulysses S. Grant. And its purpose was to encourage people on the East Coast to move out west and prosper and prospect. But that law is still on the books today. There's been some modifications at the state level, but due to the 1872 mining law, any company can go out to public land, and if they can find a resource that they want to extract and mine, they can stake a claim. And they don't have to notify the public about it. They don't have to tell people that live there what they're doing. They can just go do that. And that's exactly what happened here in Otero Mesa.
How did you find out about it?
I was hiking out there with a couple people from Alamogordo, and we were walking up Deer Mountain, and there was a stake sticking out of the ground. I saw it. I said, oh, God, this is not good. And we took the piece of paper that was attached to it, and that's how we found out who the company was. We were able to go online using the Bureau of Land Management's online database system to discover that there were 60 claims that had been staked at that point. And that was in January of this year. And now we're at 183 claims that have been staked. So who only knows that they're going to be claiming even more of these things out there.
It's a good thing you got out of the house.
Yeah, it's a really good thing.
We're talking to Nathan Newcomer of the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance. So once a claim is staked, what are the basically hoops, if any, that a company has to jump through in order to start doing things like removing mountains?
Right. And this has been a real learning process for myself because I didn't know all this, quite frankly. The way it works is, once the claims are staked, then the company, they move into something called an exploratory drilling process. And when they want to do that exploratory drilling process, they have to apply for a permit from the state of New Mexico for hazardous waste materials. At the same time, they also have to notify the Bureau of Land Management, the managing agency of the public land out there. And each agency, the state of New Mexico, from the Mining Minerals Division side, will inform other state agencies, such as the State Engineer's Office or the New Mexico Game and Fish Department, to get their feedback on whether or not they want to approve this. The same token, the Bureau of Land Management has to send out its people to the site, like archaeologists and geologists, to inspect and see if there's going to be any impacts. And the company, again, GeoVic, is trying to couch this all as a minimal impact operation.
Removing a mountain is minimal impact
exactly.
operation?
Exactly. As I said at the beginning of the program, there's no way. You cannot get these resources without using dynamite, bulldozers, the whole nine. And that's what we will see if this thing does move forward. So at this stage, the company has applied for that permit. It has not been approved. The state of New Mexico is sending it out to the relevant agencies for review. BLM is reviewing it as well. And we'll wait to hear back probably sometime in the early part of June of this year on whether or not they're going to allow the exploratory process to move forward.
What is the role of the public in that process?
In that process, well, at this stage, if the agency and the state find that this operation, the exploratory drilling operation, is quote-unquote minimal impact, then there will not be a public process. It'll get rubber stamped and be allowed to move forward.
Now, this is a federal as opposed to a state rubber stamp that we're talking about?
Correct.
Because I was wondering about what was the impact of the Susana Martinez administration, if any, on this whole thing, because she has made it very clear that the environment is not of interest to her compared to business and development.
Yeah, I would expect the state of New Mexico with this administration to give the green light to this.
But do they have any say in that?
They sure do. That's the whole state permitting process, because the state has to issue the permit for the company to dispose of hazardous waste materials at the site. If the state approves that permit, the BLM can still deny it and, in effect, prevent that from moving forward. So, but both of the agencies work together on this very closely, so usually that's avoided.
Okay, so walk us through this whole process. We're talking about state permitting, we're talking about BLM permitting, Bureau of Land Management. What then?
Well, if this state application is approved, this permit for hazardous waste materials is approved, then the company will move forward with exploratory drilling, and they'll pull out some core samples. The main mountain that they're targeting at this point is Wind Mountain, and Wind Mountain is the tallest mountain, most iconic, in Otero Mesa. And they're going to be drilling about 5,000 feet up on this mountain to pull out these big core samples to then take back and analyze further on how they want to move ahead.
And all to see if there are, in fact, rare earth
minerals. Well, they believe that there's a high quantity of them there. And from the maps that I've seen from the U.S. Geological Survey, they're right. There is a high quantity of rare earths on Wind Mountain. So I am no fool in believing that if this moves forward, we will see the complete removal of Wind Mountain. But the stage right now, after the exploratory drilling occurs, then once if they want to move forward, the company, what they'll have to do is apply for another permit. But this permit is for a plan of operations. And the plan of operations is really going to spell out to the T how this company is going to get those resources. And at that point, that's where the public will be able to be a part of the process in terms of commenting on an environmental assessment that the Bureau of Land Management might put out, or a full-blown environmental impact statement, which is what we're going to be pushing for, obviously.
Nathan Newcomer, let's talk for a moment about Otero Mesa. Why is this land, first of all, tell us where it is, what it's like, and why you have put so much of your life energy, the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance, into actually saving this piece of land.
Otero Mesa is about 20 miles southeast of Alamogordo. Its southern border is the state line with Texas. Its eastern border is the Guadalupe Mountains, and there's a national park in Texas right there. Its northern border is the Sacramento Mountains, and then its western boundary rises up out of the Tularosa Valley, near White Sands, in fact. This is America's largest and wildest grassland left on public lands. Most grasslands in this country have been plowed under for growing crops, or they've been developed for oil and gas, or they've been overgrazed. Otero Mesa is a very resilient grassland due to its shallow soil, and so the grasslands are able to sustain and be grazed upon, but there's some good grazing practices going on down there that prevents it from being degraded entirely. You have over 1,000 native wildlife species in Otero Mesa, including the state's only genetically pure herd of pronghorn antelope. And what I mean by that is most of the other herds in the state were all shot out and had to be reintroduced from Wyoming. But the herd in Otero Mesa has been there for millennia. It's a grassland, so you've got abundance of migratory songbirds, large raptors like golden eagles, bald eagles, mountain lions. And again, there's a lot of cultural history out there. This land is really the soul of the Mescalero Apache people and the Apache people in general. They've been traveling through that land. They've left their mark on the mountains with all the petroglyphs. It's a very holy and sacred place to them. And I'm actually happy to report that there's a group of Mescalero Apache traditional elders who have joined the fight now to safeguard Otero Mesa, and they're being very vocal about the sacredness of this land. So it's great to have them on board. We're always looking to bring more people into the tent because this is New Mexico's most sacred area that needs to be preserved. And to have a threat like hard rock mining be able to waltz right in and try to destroy this landscape, literally, and I don't say that lightly, come in and destroy it, it would be devastating to a lot of New Mexicans.
We've talked about, on this program, about Appalachia, West Virginia, coal mining, mountaintop removal, and there's this sort of sham that once the mountaintop removal is finished, that the companies restore the land.
Right.
And, in fact, you do see green things growing on it, but it's nothing like the ecosystem it was before, and you can't restore land after that kind of mining.
It's a fallacy. It's a complete fallacy. I'm sorry. if you're going to put dynamite into the side of a mountain and start to blow it up, how are you going to put that thing back together? You can't do that. You know, human beings are not God. We cannot create things like that. The earth was created, you know, through evolutionary processes, and it took millennium for these things to form like that. There's no way. So I expect them, the company, Geovic, to be saying things like that, that we can do this in a responsible manner, and I expect the sympathizers of that, possibly from this administration, from the state of New Mexico, to be saying the same things. But it's a complete falsehood, and anybody that buys into it has been duped.
Now, are there endangered species on this land?
In Otero Mesa, there is the you can find the endangered Oplomato falcon. It hasn't been classified as endangered in Otero Mesa, but there have been sightings of this bird in Otero Mesa. So, unfortunately, we don't really have that hook to use in our case. But, you know, with all the ecological resilience of this landscape and the Salt Basin Aquifer, which is the largest freshwater aquifer that's left untapped in the state of New Mexico, I think that there's a pretty compelling argument, in addition to the 10-year battle that's been going on already, where New Mexicans have said, leave this place alone, for crying out loud. We need to protect this place. But we're in a situation today where if we don't get permanent protection, this place is going to be lost.
Now, what would permanent protection look like if you can't do wilderness designation?
Well, the only way we're going to be able to stop hard rock mining and mountaintop removal in Otero Mesa is to get a national monument. And the way that we get a national monument is quite simple. The President of the United States pulls a pen out of his desk, signs a proclamation, bada bing, bada boom, we've got the national monument. It's that easy. But the way to get to that point is going to require that all New Mexicans really speak up very loudly, very clearly, and demand that this president take some action on the environment. Because, quite frankly, he hasn't done that much when it comes to the environment. He's made some steps here and there, but he needs to be bold. And the way to be bold, and if he wants to get people excited about him and for his reelection campaign, create an Otero Mesa National Monument. I know thousands of people will be extraordinarily relieved and excited.
It's interesting. There is this kind of, on the level of national politics, assumption on the part of Democratic lawmakers, and I think the president himself, that Democrats will always vote for him and vote for Democrats because they have nowhere else to go. And I think there's a lot of interpretations of what happened in the 2010 November election when the House of Representatives went Republican, and people say sort of platitudes about the country moving to the right. But my perception of that, and I think a lot of people's perception of that, is that a lot of people who voted for Obama and were really excited about promises involving environmental protection and involving a much greener economy and greener way of life, who worked very, very hard, were disappointed and did not go to the polls.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that's absolutely the case. You know, granted, I don't want to be too hard on the president because he has a lot on his plate. He had a lot to begin with when he came into office. But now is really the time. He's gotten some things done, albeit they weren't as perfect as a lot of people would have liked to see them be. He's done poorly in some areas. But on the environment, really, he hasn't done much. He's pushed for climate change legislation. He's pushed for things in Congress. But Congress is inept. Congress can't get anything done. And that's why he can really step up and take the right course of action, because he has the authority under the Use of the Antiquities Act law passed in 1908 to create national monuments. The whole purpose of the Antiquities Act was to give the president the power to act and protect public lands when Congress wouldn't or couldn't. And we're exactly in that position right now, and we've got this huge imminent threat of mountaintop removal. It's just a perfect recipe for the president to step up and do the right thing.
Has he done anything along those lines so far in the last couple of years?
Creating national monuments?
Yeah.
No, he has not.
So what kind of pressure would be required for this to even get on the radar?
Again, you know, I think back to the days when we were fighting oil and gas, and how everybody would tell me and say, oh, you can't stop those guys. That's the Yates family, the Harvey E. Yates Company. They're very powerful. They're friends with the Bush administration. They've known Dick Cheney for 30 years. That place is a goner. There's no way you're going to be able to stop it. Well, guess what? We did stop it. And the way we stopped it was by having all New Mexicans of all stripes stand up and be counted and be very vocal. We've got to do the same exact thing this time around. Get people fired up. People have got to understand that if you sit by the waysides right now, you're going to lose Otero Mesa. Literally, it's going to be gone.
Jack Loeffler has this expression which has become kind of part of my thinking, which is called turning habitat into money. Mm-hmm. And when you think of the United States as a whole, I think 96 or 97% of wildlife habitat is gone. And so that 3% is important for so many reasons. Mm-hmm. Tell us some of those reasons.
Well, it's a moral argument. Humans have degraded this planet so much that's from my perspective. It's really the moral imperative that we stand up for wild public places because they have no voice. Who's going to speak up for them if we don't speak up for them? On the other side of that, you mentioned, you know, like the tourism element or the green economy element here. There's no reason why a town like Alamogordo, New Mexico, can't be the gateway community to the Otero Mesa National Monument. You could develop school programs around this area, getting kids out there to study the ecology, to study the culture and the history, getting beds and breakfasts set up, getting tour guides set up. You know, and I'm not talking about a national monument where you pave all the roads and you build facilities in Otero Mesa. No, we would build facilities in Alamogordo and direct people through Alamogordo. It just makes so much sense. It's such a no-brainer to me.
There's also the reality that much of New Mexico used to be grasslands. And when we drive around or walk around the Santa Fe area and north and south of here, it's almost unimaginable that this was all grassland.
Right, right. And you're absolutely right. And Otero Mesa is one of the last places on Earth that really has that ecological integrity. You know, I've been out there during the fall. When the monsoon rains have hit. And I've had grassland that comes up to your waist. I mean, it's green, it's furling in the wind, it stretches for miles and miles as far as the eye can see. It's a sea of grass. It's like a prairie. You feel like you're in the Midwest or something, and you're expecting to see a herd of bison roaring down the hillside. It's got that mystical quality to it. You know, and I used to believe that Otero Mesa was magical, and it really had this huge sense of magic with it. But now I truly know better. This place is just simply wild. It has wilderness characteristics in it. You step in Otero Mesa, you know how small you are. You really can feel it out there. And if you're patient and you listen, you can hear some remarkable things.
I suppose that's its own kind of magic.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I guess I say that in the sense of, you know, mysticism and magical landscapes. But people say that all the time. And to pull it back down and make it really the core issue, and it's that it's just a wild landscape. It's truly wild, and people have forgotten what wildness is and what wildness means to the American psyche. You know, New Mexico is the birthplace of wilderness. We had the fortitude and foresight back in the 20s to see that we were chopping everything down and destroying everything and said, whoa, wait a minute, we need to protect these places, because when you walk into a wilderness area or an area that's eligible for wilderness and you just listen, amazing things happen. And Otero Mesa is remarkable in that sense.
We're talking to Nathan Newcomer with the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance, nmwild.org, talking about Otero Mesa. Now, for those of our listeners who are interested in this whole question of really saving Otero Mesa from mountaintop removal, hard rock mining, and so on, there are, as you mentioned before, kind of various steps along the way. Can this whole thing, if it were to be stopped during the permitting process, or is monument designation the only hope?
Well, monument designation is the goal, and I think everybody needs to be focusing on that goal, because we need that. Like as I said earlier, unless we get permanent protection for Otero Mesa, things like this are just going to keep happening.
Yeah.
And this is a clear indication of that, quite frankly. But during the permitting process, there could be an opportunity for us to stall and delay. It all depends on how the Bureau of Land Management moves forward with this. If they come out with, if they say, well, we feel like this project can move forward without environmental analysis, or an environmental impact statement, then it's going to be very difficult for us to try and stop that through, say, the court system. If they do a environmental impact statement, and in that environmental impact statement they say, well, we analyzed all this data, we did some NEPA analysis or environmental analysis, and we've concluded X, depending on what X is, that will tell us even more how we can challenge this, or you know, if we need to litigate, then we can. But it's unclear. That part is unclear at this point. And I'm of the mind, I don't want to wait for that. We don't have time to wait for that kind of thing, because in the meantime, this company could be staking more claims. And the more claims they get out there, the harder it is going to be for us to actually prevent this full-scale development from occurring. So that's why I emphasize over and over again the need for getting a national monument and getting it now.
The President Obama, has a program which is about really protecting the outdoors.
Yes. Most people, it's ironic, the president launched last year the America's Great Outdoors Initiative. 3 days later, the Deepwater Horizon rig blew up in the Gulf of Mexico, and so everybody forgot about the America's Great Outdoors Initiative, because that was just a god-awful accident, of course. But now there's been a report that's been released by the president on America's Great Outdoors. They held a bunch of listening sessions across the country, including here in Albuquerque, to gather feedback from the American people on how we could move forward into a 21st century conservation land ethic, if you will.
And land ethic, the words of Aldo Leopold.
The words of Aldo Leopold, that's right. So that report came out this year, and it stated specific goals on how they wanted to move forward with this 21st century conservation land ethic. Part of those goals is creating national monuments. Another part of this program is reconnecting people to the outdoors, like children, a heavy emphasis on the youth and getting kids and their parents back outside. There's also goals that regarding rural communities and how can rural communities and private landowners cooperate with the federal agency to protect large landscapes. There's things on climate change and so on, but it's interesting to see that in that report there is a section on national monuments and how to move ahead with designating national monuments. And Otero Mesa fits the bill, it really does, with those goals and those specifics outlined in that report. And to give you an example, it's asking for local support for protection. It's asking for cooperation with interested parties, asking for transparency. I think everybody's all for that. And since this campaign's been going on for 10 years, clearly we've demonstrated that there is a lot of public will out there to give the president the political cover that he needs to do the right thing. So we've got to be very smart in how we move ahead on this. I would encourage folks to look up the America's Great Outdoors report. It's very dense. It can be wonky at times. But but it's a part of, you know, this country trying to move ahead. And I must give the president kudos on that. It's all about the delivery, though, at the end of the day. And the way that he can deliver, again, is by creating the national monument.
Now, what pressures are on President Obama from the industry side?
Well, the pressure really, when you're talking about national monuments, it's coming from people who don't like the use of facts. And they relish in hearsay and making things up. And elected officials included.
No.
Imagine that. Even our Southern Congressman, Steve Pierce, is included in that bunch.
Well, Steve Pierce is right now fighting the Environmental Protection Agency over the designation of a particular reptile as who's been put on the Endangered Species Act.
Right, and he's fighting everything. He's very rabid in his ideology, and people like that, you're never going to convince them, and I don't expect to convince him. So that's why we've got to get rational people, smart people, people that actually understand, to speak up. So, again, back to the national monument question and the debate about that, we're going to see, we've already have seen, states like Utah, states like Wyoming, saying that, oh, you can't designate a national monument, that's a federal land grab. You'll hear that all the time, that's their big catchphrase, federal land grab. Well, who are you grabbing the land from? It's already federal land.
Right.
It's already owned by the public. You're not grabbing it away from anybody. What you're doing is you're stopping development like oil and gas and hard rock mining. So that speaks volumes about where those guys are standing. Who are they really representing? They're representing the extractive industry.
I think there's a question that's going to come up, which is a valid question, which is, as long as there's demand for cell phones and technologies that use hard earth minerals, where are people supposed to get them?
Right. No, that's a very good point. And I'm not here to say that we shouldn't do mining or oil and gas development in places. Obviously, I would like to see us move away from all of that, but that's not reality. But there are just some places that are too special, they're too revered, too wild, that just have God's grace over them, that we need to leave them alone. Otero Mesa is one of those places. And we can find other areas where it's appropriate for these activities to occur, but not in Otero Mesa. No way.
Nathan Newcomer, let's talk about the coalition of people who already exist and who are gathering around this new issue to protect Otero Mesa. Who's already on board? Who's coming on board?
Oh, the Coalition for Otero Mesa has been in existence since 2002. It started out as a bunch of environmental organizations like the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance, the Sierra Club, the Wilderness Society, the Audubon Society, Southwest Environmental Center based in Las Cruces, a bunch of other bigger national organizations like the World Wildlife Fund and those folks. Since that time, we've really diversified. And as I mentioned earlier, we are working with the Mescalero Apache Traditional Elders Group. They call themselves the Apache Advocates for Otero Mesa. They've joined the coalition. A host of sportsmen, hunting groups have joined the coalition, such as the New Mexico Wildlife Federation.
What do they hunt on Otero Mesa?
You can hunt pronghorn. You can hunt mule deer. There's oryx out there. Which is
and you just get permits.
Yeah,
and
you have to apply.
They give so and so many permits per year.
Yeah, you apply to the State Game and Fish Department. You can also hunt quail, birds like that. That's typically what most of them hunt for. But the pronghorn, I would say, is kind of the symbol, since it is such a rare form of pronghorn, genetically pure herd of pronghorn. They're very high value to the sportsman community.
And are the, just out of curiosity, are the hunting areas kind of separate from the hiking and camping areas?
No, you can hunt anywhere on public land. But the way it's set up is there's certain zones and sections that the Game and Fish Department has for permits, so they'll allocate those. But yeah, you can hunt just about anywhere on public land.
So you've got environmental organizations, you've got hunters and sportsmen.
You've got the Apaches. You've got businesses that have supported this, that have put their name down to say, as a business owner, I support protection of Otero Mesa. And at this point, it's kind of like it's gotten so big that we now just describe the coalition in terms of the main groups that are working on the issue day to day. But the broader coalition includes thousands of New Mexicans, elected officials, city councilors, mayors, county commissioners, state representatives, state senators. The list goes on and on and on and on. But we need to get more people. More New Mexicans need to stand up on this. Because if we don't, I'm afraid that we are going to see the end of America's largest and wildest grassland, which for me personally would just be devastating.
And for you and for countless others and for the many creatures living there, whom I have come to regard as, if not exactly our intellectual equals, our kind of brothers and sisters in the wild.
Right. Well, and even though I say I would be personally devastated, I have so much energy and so much enthusiasm and passion about this issue. There's no way I'm going to let it get to that point. I believe very strongly that New Mexicans will pull through. We are very resilient people. We're very stubborn people, which is good to some degrees, especially when you talk about issues like this. So I do have hope. I do have faith that New Mexicans will pull together to demonstrate to the president that this is the right thing to do.
Nathan Newcomer, so if people are listening right now and they want to get involved, what should they do?
They should go to the Coalition for Otero Mesa website, which is very easy. It's just oteromesa.org, and it's spelled O-T-E-R-O. Some people throw an A in there. There is no. It's not called Otero Mesa. It's
oteromesa.org.
And you'll find a really nice website, a lot of information. You can sign up to get email action alerts. You can take action to send letters to the president or to Secretary of the Interior Ken Salazar.
Or both.
Or give us a call. There's a list of all the groups that are involved. If you want to volunteer, more than happy to put you to work. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. We'll take all the help we can get. Pick up the phone. Call the president. Call the White House. Tell them that you want to see Otero Mesa become a national monument. I think that that will go a long way. We need to really ramp up the pressure. And if everybody took really 2 minutes out of their day and called the White House and said that message to them, it would really start to pick up steam, I think.
And the White House opinion line, I believe, is area code 202-456-1111.
Let's flood those lines, folks.
I've called that so many times. It's really quite. They're there and they're willing to take your calls.
People can also write letters to the editor for your local newspaper. That's a great way to show publicly through the press that this is an issue that you really care about. And make no mistake, our elected officials read the papers.
Yes, indeed.
They read blogs. They look at all that stuff. So the more that people write into the Santa Fe New Mexican, the Santa Fe Reporter, Albuquerque Journal, whatever it may be.
And whatever your local paper is in Taos or anywhere in the state of New Mexico.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Any radio programs that you have in your area, like this wonderful
program.
Where
you can
call in. KSFR, yeah. Although you can't call in.
You can't call in here. And you can write to me, though. RadioCafe@KSFR.org. And I actually welcome and as often as I can answer letters from listeners, and have had some very interesting conversations and dialogues, which is what this is all about.
Right.
And frankly, which is what democracy is all
exactly.
about.
Exactly. And it just goes back to the basic tenets of organizing. Like I said earlier, we stopped the Bush administration, a very well-known oil and gas company, in a grassland that nobody heard about. We did that as people because we banded together and we spoke up with a loud and clear voice. There's no reason why we can't do that again.
Nathan Newcomer is with the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance. Tell us a little bit more about the Wilderness Alliance and its work. You work certainly on Otero Mesa, but on other things as well.
Sure. We're the state's only 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the restoration and protection of our existing wilderness areas in the state, like the Pecos, and the creation of new wilderness in the state of New Mexico. And we've got several campaigns that are going on besides Otero Mesa. Up here in the north, there's the El Rio Grande del Norte National Conservation Area Establishment Act that we have had introduced in Congress by Senator Bingaman, Senator Udall, and Representatives Heinrich and Lujan have all introduced this package to protect about 300,000 acres of public land near Cuesta. It goes all the way up to the Colorado border around the Rio Grande Gorge. Beautiful country. There's some mountains out there, too. And then down in the south, we've got the Doniana County Wilderness Campaign to protect the Oregon Mountains. And we have both of these pieces of legislation introduced last Congress, but again, Congress is so inept, they were unable to pass those pieces of legislation. But we're pushing them ahead again, and there's a lot of other areas across the state that we work on, too.
Nathan Newcomer, to what extent have public lands been protected in the past under other presidential administrations in the Southwest, in New Mexico in particular?
Well, New Mexico, unfortunately, ranks last in the entire Western United States in terms of public land permanently protected. About 2.2% of our public domain in the state of New Mexico is permanently protected. That's sad because we were the birthplace of wilderness. The idea came through New Mexico. Former Senator Clinton P. Anderson from New Mexico helped push the Wilderness Act through Congress in 1964. So we're at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to protected
lands.
That's
weird.
It is weird. It's just sad. It's a lack of political leadership and will. And it speaks to really the ineptitude of Congress, that the national politics in the state that we're in.
You've said that three times now.
I know. Well, it's true. It's true. These guys can't get anything done. At least things that people really want to see done.
Partisan bickering.
It is. It's
and
a
the
waste
focus
of time.
The focus of almost all political energy on women's reproductive rights.
I know, right. Seriously? That's what we're talking about. That's what we're having conversations about in this country. It's ridiculous.
So ridiculous. Okay, so, but New Mexico is... But what about Arizona, Utah, Colorado?
Yeah, in the Clinton administration, for example, when they created national monuments, like in Utah, Grand Staircase, Utah and Arizona got the bulk of all of those national monuments, and New Mexico really got left out again. So I think that kind of speaks into the storyline that we've been talking about today, about the right thing for the president to do. This state has enormous potential for protecting our public lands. I cited the bill up north and the bill down south in the Oregon Mountains and the El Rio Grande Norte, NCA, and Otero Mesa. if this Congress is unwilling and unable to actually move these things forward, then I think that gives the president the coverage and the leverage that he needs to say, hey, Congress, you couldn't get it done. I've got the authority to do it. And in the case of Otero Mesa, we've got this imminent threat looming on the horizon. I had to do this.
Now, the president has shown himself to be very friendly to corporate America and industry and so on. Surely there will be a great deal of pressure coming from the mining industry.
Oh, absolutely. And one thing I forgot to mention earlier is that the mining industry, they've got it made. They are the only extractive industry in the United States that does not have to pay taxes, royalties, back to the federal government and the American people for the resources they extract from the public land. Oil and gas companies, coal companies, they all have to do that. The mining industry, oh no, they get off scot-free and they get to take our resources and then they leave us with the cleanup costs if there's any kind of contamination. And most Superfund sites that you find, guess what started it there? Hard rock mining.
Well, we have many examples in New Mexico alone of very old mines
yes.
that are still contaminating yes. water systems,
yes.
drinking water.
Yes. The Red River, there's a stretch of the Red River outside Cuesta that was so badly contaminated. It's going to have to be virtually treated into perpetuity. It's
yeah.
about a 6-7 mile stretch of the river. It's just so badly contaminated from mining operations that they've got to constantly pump the water, and treat it.
And as we've said before, private profits and socialized losses. So
yeah.
whatever the downside is, the public pays for it. Whatever the profit is, the company takes it. But, I mean, one of the arguments that is often made for oil and gas is that it's good for the state because the royalties
right.
come back to the state. You can't even make that argument for hard rock mining.
No, you can't. You can't. And this company's going to say things like, again, it's going to be minimal impact, and we're going to create jobs, you know, in the local economy. I'm sorry, but Alamogordo is not a mining town. That's an Air Force town. They have a big Air Force base there and a lot of community service goods jobs. They're not going to be creating jobs in Alamogordo or Otero County, regardless of what they say. They're going to bring in their own people.
Uh-huh.
And so, again, you've got that. You've got the fact that they get off scot-free. They stick the taxpayer with the bill. And they've really, they said they didn't want to kick the hornet's nest when we met with them and talked to them about this. Well, they're kicking it and stabbing it in the back and spitting on it. And if they want a war, they're going to get a war, and I'll be sure to be the one to take them down.
Now, when you talk about Alamogordo, you say it's an Air Force town. Do you think the Alamogordo as it is now is compatible with being a wilderness national monument gateway town, as you were describing before?
It's a conservative community, I'll be honest there. But we have people working in Alamogordo right now who are talking to Rotary clubs, Lions clubs, the public schools, meeting with businesses, and just educating them. You know, trying to say, hey, look, guys, you've got this thing in your backyard. A lot of them don't even know about it, quite frankly, because they don't get out very often. But the more and more we take people out there from Alamogordo, they get it. We did a Veterans Day outing last year. We took a bunch of veterans from Alamogordo. A lot of them were saying, we need to drill out here. We need the energy. We need to wean ourselves off of foreign sources of oil. But after they saw herds of 80 pronghorn running through the grasslands, and they got to see all the petroglyphs on Alamo Mountain, and you know, we fed them food. We made some Dutch oven enchiladas. We all sat down, and they just looked at us and said, you know what? I get it now. I really get it. And this place does need to be protected. So it's just winning people's hearts and minds one by one down there and educating them and being fair, honest, and open about it and being humbled by the whole process. So I think we've got the opportunity to turn that community around into one that embraces this, but it's going to take a lot of work.
Do you take people down on trips to Otero Mesa?
Certainly do. I've probably been down there over 100 times now.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's I can't get enough, really. It's an amazing place. The next trip that we have scheduled is going to be in September. We actually have two trips in September. And you can go onto our website, which is nmwild.org, and you can check out our calendar and see those trips. And those will hopefully be some really nice ones because we are expecting camping trips. It's not backpacking, you know. It's going to be car camping. So it's very, I would say it's luxury, but you certainly have some amenities that you normally wouldn't
car
have.
Car camping is nice because you don't have to carry 50 pounds
exactly.
on your back.
Exactly. It's really a good time. although I will be going down there probably before then, because I think the Mescalero Apache are going to be doing a blessing ceremony with the Mountain Spirit dance groups, which hasn't occurred in that region in probably about 250 years. So
really?
It's a very, yeah, very special thing. And they've invited me to come join them. So I'll probably be going down there when they decide to do that later this year.
So Nathan Newcomer, New Mexico Wilderness Alliance, if people want to get involved, they can go to oteromesa.org, and there they will be prompted to write to Secretary of the Interior Ken Salazar, to write to the President of the United States, to call the White House opinion line. Right now, any other actions that people can take if they're excited about this?
Again, I would say use the press, use the media, write letters to the editor. You know, when you go to your clubs or your groups or any meetings that you might hold, your book club, whatever it might be, bring this topic up. This is something that's really near and dear, as you've stated, to a lot of New Mexicans. And it's time, the time is now. We really don't have that much time. I give us maybe about a year and a half before we start to see the full-scale removal of mountains in Otero Mesa. So just to encourage folks to, hey, speak up, be counted. We did this once before. Let's do it again. Let's make it permanent.
Nathan Newcomer is Associate Director of the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance. They're on the web at nmwild.org. And their phone number is?
505-843-8696. And my direct extension is 106.
And once again, the White House opinion line is area code 202-456-1111. I think we've covered it here. Nathan, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much. Good to be back.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz.